I just remembered something I wanted to talk to you about before we went live, and now we're live.
Is it going to affect the show?
It should.
Oh, God. I don't know if that's good or bad. That sounds bad, though.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 49 for Friday, the 18th of September, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and this week I've got the beard, and he's Kent, and he's still got the beard.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I trimmed it up a little bit today. Tried to purify it a little bit, but yeah, I'm...
It still looks like somebody took a massive turd on your face.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, it didn't make me any prettier, but, you know.
No.
No, I don't
think
you
know what makes you prettier? The only thing that makes you prettier is me being on screen.
Oh! It's because my eyes light up when I see you. That's why. Or maybe not.
So many gay jokes in my head right now. How you been, man? How you been this week?
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to go back to something I used to say every single week. Oh, my God, dude. I've been so busy this week.
Right. So busy you couldn't prepare for the cast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into that. One of the things, my Mac is having issues. I'm actually very surprised that I'm able to do the show right now.
Your Mac is jacked. Got it.
Yep. The thing is really old at this point, well, as far as computers go. And, yeah, I think it's just, it's time, man.
Yeah?
It's time.
How old is your Mac? You've got, what, like a 08 model or something?
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah, you're on an iMac, right? So
yeah, iMac. It's probably right around 7 years old.
Yeah. Still runs fine, except for this week. This week you just decided to take a huge whopping shit.
Yeah, I don't know what's been going on, man. It like, things lock up, it reboots spontaneously. Kind of acts like every Windows PC I ever had after about 6 months of use. I mean,
so according to that logic, you've got another 2 years before you actually need to fresh clean it, fresh wipe it.
yeah, more or less. I don't know. Yeah. I've been in the market for something newer and faster and things anyway. So, yeah, it's like I said, man, it's time.
Well, we'll have to put that on our Amazon wish list on our website. See if anybody is lovingly enough to buy one for you.
Not gonna happen. Yeah, probably not.
All right, man. And apparently you've been doing some karate this week.
Oh yeah, I'm supposed to test tomorrow morning for my fourth coup. Yeah, lots and lots of prep. Actually, the past couple of weeks, this week in particular, I've been doing lots of prep, and that's been consuming a lot of my free time lately.
Hmm. See, that's why I can't have too many hobbies at one time, man.
I know.
you gotta pare down the hobbies as you go along.
At least this one's a healthy one.
Yeah. Big news for the week. Yeah, until you break your leg. The big news for the week, as far as the Apple stuff goes, is you ordered yourself an iPhone 6S.
Yeah, I sure did. I debated over and over if I'm just going to get the 6 or just go ahead and just do it and get the 6S. And I decided on the 6S. Might as well. It's really not that big of a price difference. I thought it was going to be a very significant price difference, but it's like, I don't even think it's $100 difference. So I went ahead with the 6S. Which one of them would be a huge upgrade over the 5 that I currently use.
Should have gone with the 6S Plus, man, I'm telling you.
No, I've already got an iPad, thanks.
Haterade. Oh, man. So speaking of things like that, I went home last week. Now, in all honesty, we did a show last week, episode beta 48. We didn't care for it. We droned on for too long, and we didn't do the concise manner which we wanted to. So it's still out there if you want to find it. But other than that, screw off. We're going to continue on. So this is beta 49. I went home right after doing that podcast last week, 14-hour flight into Dallas. That was miserable. I passed the time playing playing Fallout Shelter on my iPad and watching Inside Out, which was one of the in-flight movies. It was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, oh, that's the first time you saw it.
It was.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I was impressed. It's actually a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie way more than what I thought I was going to. I thought it was
way
like,
more than you should as a 38-year-old man, right?
Well, you would think, but this movie, man, it speaks to adults. I think the older you are,
really
the more
does.
Relevant it is.
That could be, especially towards the end when it starts cutting into, or the middle where it starts cutting into the adult and the, and it was, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was an interesting perspective, and all that hogwash about not being an accurate portrayal of, you know, shut the fuck up. It was a good movie, okay? So, there's that. That's all you need for you. So I went home and made the executive decision for my wife and I to get Apple Watches. So she got the rose gold 38mm. I got the black aluminum or whatever, the one that matches my iPhone, 42mm.
Space gray.
There you go, space gray, which apparently probably isn't a color according to Scott Johnson either, but whatever. So, been living with it for about a week, and on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being absolutely impressed and 1 being utterly disappointed, I'm currently sitting at about a 7.5, maybe an 8.
Oh, very
nice. It does all the things that I knew that it would do. It does them a little bit easier. The learning curve is there. We actually had to go back to the Apple Store because we couldn't figure out why my wife wasn't getting alerts. It turns out that it doesn't give you your phone alerts if your phone is open, like if it's unlocked and open.
Ah.
Well, why would your watch give you alerts if you're looking at the phone that the watch is an extension of? And I think that's what it is. It's literally an extension of my phone. It's not its own device. And I think that was one of the things that I thought was, you know, I thought it would be more of its own device, but it is literally just an extension of my phone. And I don't say that derogatorily, you know?
I thought that they were, aren't they changing that a little bit with OS 2, with the Watch OS 2, where it's beginning to be to become a little more independent?
It's removing some of the tetheredness of it, but it's still an extension of your phone.
Oh, okay. Got it.
In fact, you install apps onto the watch, glances and everything else. You install all that through the phone. You know, it literally, you the watch is an extension of the phone. It's just right now it's tethered. In order to be fully functional, it has to be within, you know, Bluetooth or Wi-Fi range or whatever. And some of that gets extended out. Excuse me. You know, goes more broad based. Like I could leave my phone at home and use, you know, have my watch. It wouldn't accept phone calls and things like that, but it'd still be able to, you know, do a lot of the functions that it currently can't do with watchOS 2. Mm. But it's still an extension of the phone.
Yeah.
And as the extension of the phone, it's literally something like I can take phone calls on it. I can reply on texts. I can get all my alerts, you know, whatever alerts I choose. I can do things on here to synchronize with my phone, like set my alarms and things like that. It's perfect for, you know, what I want to use it for. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody, obviously. It is kind of a niche thing. I did work out this morning and tried out the fitness tracking aspect of it. I used Runkeeper instead of the fitness app, you know, the activity app that's on the phone. And I'll probably do the other way around next time. I'll try the activity app instead of Runkeeper, which is my normal. But it worked out fine. I mean, you know, there's very little that I could really complain about on the watch. So,
cool.
That's my ideas of it after the first week. Now, WatchOS 2 has yet to come out because they did find a glitch that was apparently killing batteries really, really fast or whatever. But, you know, I'll update once that hits. It was easy enough for my wife to use to where we can send each other messages and she can actually use it as an extension of her phone as well. So that's a plus. However, that's not the biggest news of the week for me for going home.
What else you got?
Well, you know we got a 35-foot trailer, right?
Yeah.
And you know, next summer I have a big move coming, going to my undisclosed location. I don't know if I've disclosed it on this podcast or not.
I don't. Yeah, I don't going remember my, if you did or not.
Going to my undisclosed location, and I'm going to have to be hauling that trailer. And my wife was concerned that the Tundra wouldn't be powerful enough to pull the trailer through mountains and such. So we went and looked at a slightly bigger truck. We started looking. The only other truck I would get is either Toyota or Dodge, because those are the trucks that I've owned, and I loved both of them. But Toyota doesn't make a three-quarter ton. The Tundra is the biggest they go. So we looked at the 2500 and the 3500 over at Dodge, and we ended up settling on a 2500 Power Wagon.
Okay.
It's kind of their heavy-duty limited edition version.
Right. So you guys bought it, or you just you made the decision that you are going to buy it?
No, we bought it.
Ah, okay. Hooray for Bills.
Yeah, well, after all was said and done, we ended up buying it for, of course, it's a new truck. It's almost 3 years newer than our old truck, but we got the payments right about the same, and that's what mattered to my wife, and we got a good price on it. We got lower than what we should have gotten on it. And we got a good trade-in with the Tundra, considering we never got the hail damage repaired. The trade-in came right along with what we owed on it, so it's kind of a wash there. And yeah, it's an amazing truck. It's got more hauling capacity, more towing capacity. It sits about 3 inches higher.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. We did have to immediately take it back to the shop though, because the center display, with it has all the little gizmos and gadgets and everything else, all the programmable shit in it, it went on the fritz like day two.
Oh, jeez. Well, at least you were still there and you were able to take care of it.
Yeah, exactly. I can't get a new-ish vehicle without something seriously going wrong with it. Like, you know, there's always something wrong with it. So.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, that was big news there. Loved it, and I'll have pictures of that eventually.
Yeah. Hey, have you heard about this new game, Super Mario Maker?
I have not.
Holy crap, dude. Okay.
Now, other than playing with my watch, I kind of disconnected from the world for the last week. So,
all right. So, I mean, you've played probably many, many iterations of the Super Mario Brothers games, right?
Oh yeah.
Super Definitely. Mario World, you know, the original Super Mario Brothers, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been playing it and you're like, oh man, you know what would make this level really cool if it had this, or you know what would make it even harder, more challenging if it did this or that? Well, now you can do all of that. You can,
yeah,
with Super Mario Maker, you make your own Mario levels.
Nice.
And holy crap.
Like, dude. Really?
Yeah, like for real.
For what system? This is for the Wii U?
It's for Wii U, yeah. Oh my god, this thing is so much fun. The boys, when the game came out, it was like, I think day two that it was out, both the boys were like, we need this game. They both said, both of them said they'd pay for half of the game. They're like, we need this game. Like, now, like, take us to a store now. So we got the game. And I was like, you know, I'd heard about it. It sounds kind of cool. No, it is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The boys have pretty much nonstop been making levels. And then, Dad, come play this level.
try this shit.
Yeah. It is pretty awesome, man. It's got the Super Mario Brothers, like the original NES Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario World, the new Super Mario Brothers, and I think there's like one or two other. They don't have any of the 3D ones, so Super Mario 64, like Mario right. Galaxy, they don't do that. But all of the side-scrolling platform style games, you can build levels in the style of
for
those
games. Nice.
And holy cow, man, so much fun.
Is this the boys' version of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 demo?
Oh, fuck. Yes. Yes. It is exactly that. It is exactly that. Because
we went hog nuts over that game.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, one of us would make a level, like, dude, check this out.
Yeah. Like, oh, your level sucks. My level's so much better.
Yeah. And then, That's pretty much exactly what they've got going on.
And then it came down to it. We ended up playing the pre-made levels anyway. So.
Yeah, so much fun.
Very cool. That's something I'll have to check out. I don't have a Wii U, but, you know.
Yeah, well, there's that.
So, all right. iOS 9, man. iOS 9 dropped this week. OS 2 did not, but iOS 9 did.
Yeah, and did you upgrade?
I'm actually on the 9.1 beta, so.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you've kind of been there.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple different things. I've got an iPhone 5. And I've got an iPad mini second gen, I think it is.
Something, yeah.
So the experience is a little bit different. With the iPhone, okay, it's got some neat little bells and whistles, like with Search and Siri's kind of upgraded.
Right.
But the thing that I noticed right off the bat is the way that you do app switching. It's not better or worse than what it used to be. It's just different. And it's now you go backwards compared to what you've been doing for years. Like if you're scrolling from your current app to your most recent all the way through or whatever. Now it's backwards and it's like a full screen preview as opposed to the icons. And like I said, it's not better or worse. It's just different and I'm not really sure why they made that change.
I like it better. And I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay.
I'll tell you exactly why. The way that it is now, when I double click and it brings up the little app switching.
Yeah.
It's like a deck of cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for that reason alone, just being reminiscent of a deck of cards, I like it better.
I can see that.
Yeah, no. It's purely aesthetics and purely subjective, too.
Yeah, exactly. Purely aesthetic. The one thing that I do like about app switching now is when you do switch to an app, whatever app you were just using has a little bar at the across the top of the page that says switch back to, and you can immediately go back to what you were doing after you finish answering that text or whatever it is. That's kind of cool.
So kind of like the phone call.
Yeah, kind of. So, I mean, there's a couple neat little things. And there's supposed to be extra battery life and stuff like that. So, okay, fine.
Okay. Now, from the iPad?
From the iPad, well, my iPad is too old to take advantage of the bells and whistles for iPad, apparently. The multitasking stuff, the side-by-side, picture-in-picture. I can't get any of that stuff to work. And apparently it's because... No, it's only the newest versions of the iPads that are able to do it.
Right. iPad Air 2 and the iPad Mini 4.
Right. Yep. Yay. Go me. So the things that I was looking forward to on iOS 9 don't even apply to the shit that I have. So
but
little disappointed there.
During the announcement, though.
Yeah, so I missed that.
Didn't surprise me at all.
I missed that.
My thing is, so I have an iPad 3rd gen. I had an iPad 2, and then I traded it in. I took it to, like, I don't know, I sold it. And got an iPad 3rd gen. Okay, it's the first Retina iPad is what I have.
Oh, okay, right.
Before the new iPad. I've still got the old 40-pin connector thing, okay? It's not failed me in any way, shape, or form. No, it doesn't have the touch ID thing, and it's not going to get the picture-in-picture and all that other fancy stuff, but it's never had a problem at all until I installed Fallout Shelter. Fallout Shelter is the first and only app I've installed on it that makes it feel 4 years old.
I didn't realize Fallout Shelter was that intensive.
Well, it's got a lot of 3D to it. A lot of moving icons and everything else. So, yeah, zoomed out, it works just fine. Zoom in, and I either have to be way zoomed in or I have to be way zoomed out. Anything in the middle in the iPad's like, I don't know about this, man. I'm not sure. So.
Huh.
But yeah, that the first time that my iPad has actually shown its age was on that app, and I've been playing the hell out of it on there, so I'm sure my iPad is just pissed off at me.
Yeah, you're gonna burn it up.
Whatever. All right, man. So it is. It's about time for this right here. All right. Now, you did not have a TED Talk this week.
I did not, but I did download the new app, the new TED Talks app.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there's that. But you didn't
use
it.
That's my contribution to TED Talks. So,
I was prepared to digest the information. I simply did not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I watched Scott Dinsmore, How to Find Work You Love. And really, this comes down to he lists three foundations, and I don't remember off the top of my head what they were, but that gives you a reason to watch the thing. Basically, what it is if you're doing the job that you're being told that you're supposed to do and you don't enjoy it, it's time to find the job that you do want to do. Find the difference that only you can make, and a lot of that has to do with the people and the company that you keep. Surrounding yourself by people that want to find more out of what they're doing, as opposed to surrounding yourself with people that are just getting by. And one story that he tells is he was getting ready to swim across the bay from Alcatraz into San Francisco, and you know he thought there's no way he could swim across it. There's you know, what if there's sharks in the water, and you know it's a mile and a half and 56 degree water. There's no way he can make it. Whatever else, and then his little friend, his friend like Jim or whatever, came up and said, "Look, you're wearing a wetsuit, so you're not going to sink. It's too cold in the water for sharks. And besides, if there were sharks, you think they'd really hunt you down versus the 80 other people? You know, like the likelihood is very minimal. So you might as well just go ahead and go for it because you got nothing to lose." And he was like, "Yeah, that sounds awesome." And the kicker was his friend was 9 years old. So, and his thing was, you know, if you were told at 9 years old, if you started out at 9 years old believing that you could do anything that you wanted to do, where would you be now, as opposed to limiting yourself to what you can't do this whole life? So that was pretty cool. It's really a good talk. It's kind of long. It's a little slow. It's rather dry, but there's still a good message to it. So, Scott Dinsmore, How to Find Work You Love. That's the talk for this week.
Okay, great.
So
I'll check that one out.
I recommend
it.
All right. So Wiley Overstreet and Alex Garrosh, a pair of YouTube creators, made a short video on just how our solar system looks to scale. And it took 7 miles of open desert to match a marble sized Earth. This was amazing. And I know you didn't get a chance to watch this video. But a friend of ours, Squid, put this in there, and he put this in there not knowing this, but a few years ago, I think right after last time I deployed, my kids were asking, how big is the universe actually? How actual large is it, you know? So I went down to Hobby Lobby, and I was going to buy a little styrofoam marbles and everything else and make it to scale in my backyard. So I started doing the math. And what it came down to was, for me to make it in my backyard, the Earth would have to be so small that I couldn't make the moon.
Right, right, yep.
So that was when I realized just how grand it was to scale. This is before the little thing on the internet came out with, you know, you can surf through the universe and see, you know, all the way down to the smallest particles up to the whole biggest stars and shit like that. And it blew me away. Watching this video really kind of put that whole idea into focus in a manner in which you can really just see how far everything is. You know, the Earth being a marble, a 1-inch little marble or 3/4-inch little marble, makes the sun a 1.5 meter wide ball.
Right, right.
Half a mile away.
It's pretty amazing, man. Yeah, and that's just our solar system. Just our system of planets and objects circling around
all the way up to
and
Neptune.
There's millions of stars.
Yep. Just in our galaxy, there's millions of stars.
Right.
The scale of the universe, what it really comes down to is you don't matter.
Basically.
That's kind of a nihilist way of looking at it, but that's really what it comes down to, man, is nothing you do matters to anyone outside of Earth. The things that we do are not going to affect things on the cosmic scale. There's going to be something bigger and grander than anything we can ever possibly accomplish. And maybe that makes it sound like there's no point in doing things, but to me it makes it more pertinent because you can't fuck up anything for the entire universe.
Well,
you go balls out and you do everything that you possibly can to achieve your dreams, the worst that's going to happen is the universe will forget you.
I think in a short term that's probably true, but everything is kind of a relative, relative interactions with everything else. Because think about like the protons that are in the atoms that are in the molecules that make up us or the objects that we interact with. Like an individual proton, who gives a shit, right? But that proton can do something that affects the atom that it's in, that therefore affects the molecule, so on and so forth.
You're talking about the butterfly effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely talking butterfly effect.
I just don't buy it.
It could, it could. Is it going to? Probably not, but it could. You never know. and that's kind of the same thing with us being able to affect the universe. We might, like, something you do in particular isn't going to change, like, the way that galaxies rotate around each other or what have you. But what we do on this Earth affects the grand scale of, like, the human journey, I guess, as a whole. Like, the population of Earth is, we're driven by technology and, what am I trying to say? Social progress and like all these different things that kind of direct the where we're going as a people, as a species, and therefore we as a species affects our planet, and then we do things outside of our planet, like sending spacecraft out there, and what I'm saying. It there is butterfly effect possibilities out there. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of probably we're insignificant in the scale of the universe, but we might not be.
Perhaps not.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the optimistic view, but I think
that's that's definitely the glass half full kind of thing.
I guess, but I've kind of always been that guy, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I'm like the Yang to your yin or something? Or maybe say the way around.
Sure. I'm not sure that's the way it is, but okay. That sounds a little awkward. All right, well, here's one that might be a little bit more interesting to you, man. Sony has renamed Project Morpheus to PlayStation VR and will have more than 10 titles offered when it launches in the first half of 2016. And it's all going to come competitively priced against new consoles. What do you think about all that?
Man,
they didn't drop a price. They just said it's going to be priced like a new console.
Yeah, so it'll probably be like
the same press release where they are dropping the price in Japan of the PlayStation 4 down 500 yen or 5,000 yen or whatever it is.
Yeah,
5,000 yen.
No,
It's $50.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever it comes out to, man, they're dropping it $50. So what do you think? What do you think? Is this something that interests you? Is this something you might be going for?
Oh, dude, it very much interests me. I think it was probably about a year ago on this very podcast, we did a thing about VR and how excited I am about the prospect of it. Not just as a gaming console, but just as a consumer tech.
Right.
It's amazing. The capabilities of VR are, I don't want to say limitless, but my God, the possibilities are just, they're exciting. Being able to interact inside of a world, not just look at a screen and see the world that you're inhabiting, but actually be immersed, or at least feel like you're immersed. It's exciting, man. I really like that.
I tell you what, man, if I have to look like this when I'm doing it, though, like, I don't know. This guy's got, like, how would you describe that, man? It looks like a...
He looks like a really bad Tron playset. He looks like a crew chief, like, directing an aircraft, but, like, in some utopian sci-fi future or something. It's...
Like, this has Michael Bay written all over it.
Yeah.
Basically. Oh, man. So, okay. So, they didn't announce a price. They said they're going against Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, and I don't know. I don't see anywhere in here. Now, I didn't read. I've read a couple articles on this, and I didn't see anything where it says the PS4 is going to be mandatory to be able to use this. I'm assuming it is. So it's basically double down on the PS4.
Right.
So if you end up having to go, say, $800 in on this, and then an extra headset, so you're looking at probably $1,100 in just to be able to play this with your kids, man. Are you in or out?
I'll be waiting. Yeah, because I don't even have the PS4 yet. So,
right,
I've been waiting on the price to drop on that. So, once the price drops on that, it's probably about the time that I'm going to jump in on that. Depending on the pricing of the VR, man, I got to see it. I got to have hands-on experience.
How important is first mover advantage on this, though?
First mover?
You know, everybody's been... Yeah, first mover advantage. First people to come out with this, you know,
well,
they're going to have the initial mind share and everything else. Now, I've debated on this, whether this is actually good or bad, because if you come out and it's a strong showing and it delays everybody else, that's awesome. If you come out and the next, you know, Oculus or not Oculus now, is it?
Didn't Microsoft buy the Oculus or somebody? No, Facebook. Facebook bought Oculus.
If the Oculus Rift comes out right after the PSVR comes out and it's better,
yeah,
that spells doom for the PSVR.
Right, right.
You know, I'm so not ready to subscribe to any of this yet.
Right, right, exactly. And that's, I kind of want to see the shakeout, because there's gonna, it's gonna be kind of a cascade effect, because it sounds like PSVR is gonna be the first one out. And then it's only going to be a handful of months probably when the next one comes out, and then a couple more months in the next one, a couple more months in the next one. The market is going to be flooded. Within the next 2 years, the market is going to be flooded with different VR sets, I think. And one, two, maybe even three of them will kind of float to the top to be the, you know, kind of the Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft of the, you know, of the gaming market. VR units are going to float to the top as well, and then we're gonna debate this one's gonna be good for this situation, and this one over here is gonna be good for this situation. So I don't know.
I really just hope this is done right. I do not want them to screw this up. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
Like, I'm willing to wait another year or two. Just get it right.
Yeah. Unless this one comes out and it is, oh my God, like the holodeck from Star Trek: The Next Generation,
man. Just like, don't Virtual Boy this shit, man. That's all
right.
I care about.
Exactly. Exactly. What a piece of crap that thing was.
Oh, my God. It hurts your eyes. Like, I just played it in the store like three times.
Yep.
The first time I played it, and I was like, oh, maybe I wasn't doing it right, you know? Maybe it was like VR gate or something, you know? Maybe I just... And then the second time I went over there and I tried playing, and I was like, this is okay. Well, I got the focus down. I did a little adjustment, and I can actually play, and it still sucks, you know? And
yeah, it was
awful. The third time I went, and I looked in there, and as soon as I looked in there, I saw that it was just red, and I was like, I'm not playing this shit. And I just walked away. Like, that was it. I was done. I never even walked near it again. You know?
I don't think that thing was in stores for even a year. That thing was just...
I don't know.
That thing was dead on arrival.
what came out in 95? Ugh,
something like
just
that.
Miserable.
94 or 95.
So shitty.
Yeah.
So shitty.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right. God, man. I remember, like, there was a line to try this thing when they set it up at the store.
Yeah, it was at Kmart, I think, in Lafayette.
Well, see, the first time I saw it was in at the BX at Shepherd. The BX at Shepherd.
You didn't even see it at Kmart. Wow.
Mm-mm. Nope. I saw the BX at Shepherd, and they had the one display unit, and I remember, like, I was looking at it going, this is like a test dummy thing, right? Like, this is not the package you get. This is not, I'm not going to buy this for, what was it, $149 or something?
Yeah, I think it was.
Buy this and take it home and open up the box and see this, right? This is just something they're putting in the stores. And then I look at the box and, like, they had an open box sitting there, and I looked at it and I'm like, no, this is it. Like, this is the supposedly finished package. This piece of shit looking like, you know, and I thought maybe because I finally got up there to look into it and I thought it was broken. I thought, well, shit, this thing's already broken. Like, no, that was it. That was the stuff, man.
It really was shitty.
Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure Nintendo lost money on that project.
Oh, I, and if they didn't, good for them. Because I'm sure they had to have bet against themselves on that one, you know?
Oh, like, God. Yeah, it was pretty
bad. I don't know what the Vegas line was on shitty hardware at that time, but they had to have bet against themselves.
That was like Nintendo's first miss,
absolute
I think.
Crap. Oh, I wouldn't want to say that it was. It's the first miss that I remembered.
Yeah, I mean, other than game titles here and there, hardware.
Man,
it was their first
so
hardware
awful.
Miss.
That thing was so awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Back to reality.
The real reality, not the virtual one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, you know, you don't have to go to the store anymore to buy stuff.
Oh, dude, yeah, I know. I love online shopping.
Yeah. You know what I like doing? I like going to sites like Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon's
really
cool.
I buy all my shit on Amazon.
I buy...
Like, it's great.
I buy a lot of stuff on Amazon. I even subscribe to things that I get all the time, like, you know, toilet paper, paper towels, Kleenexes, soap, deodorant, toothpaste. I'm subscribed on Amazon. So I'm going to buy the stuff
you're
anyway.
You're hardcore.
Might as well come right to my door. Yeah.
Plus, you live in Alamogordo, man. You can't buy toilet paper down the street. You got a special order of that shit in that crappy town.
Exactly.
Man. You know, with all the stuff that we buy on Amazon, I wish we could get a little bit of that Amazon money.
Oh, dude. If I had a few cents for every dollar that I spend on Amazon, just what I spend on Amazon, man, yeah. I might have a couple of bucks.
Oh, calm down. Calm down. Well,
but it'd be really cool if we had like a few other people, like me, you, and like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 of our friends also.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if only there's a way to do that.
That would be really neat.
You know, I've heard that if you know an affiliate, an Amazon affiliate, you can actually go there and then they actually get a little piece of all the money you spend on Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I've heard of this thing. There's even dude, there's even a site. If you go to ritualmisery.com and click on their Amazon affiliate link, they will get a few cents on every dollar that you spend at Amazon.
Yeah, but the problem with that is it's got to cost me more, right? I mean,
No. See, I thought the same thing. I was like, okay, where's the markup? But there isn't any markup. If you're buying something for $9.99 and you click on the Amazon affiliate link on ritualmisery.com and you go and you do your shopping on Amazon and it's still $9.99, there is no markup whatsoever. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
See, that seems like a deal, man. Now, why can't we tell more people about that?
I don't know. I think we should. We should tell them about the Ritual Misery one.
Yeah, ritualmisery.com. And if you wanted to support us in some other way, ritualmisery.com/support.
Yeah.
I think that would work.
Oh, yeah. That's that is our site, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we should do that, man. All right. Well, dude, if people want to know more about you, dude, how can people find out?
Well, if they're beer people like me, they can go to ratebeer.com and look up username Del Noche. You can see all of the beers that I've been drinking lately. Otherwise, you can go to Twitter and find me at @RM_Del Noche. I'm usually saying something, trying to be funny or introspective or at least interesting in some way or fashion. What about you, man? Where you at?
Well, unfortunately, I don't try to be funny or introspective or anything else. I actually am pretty funny on the old Twitter.
Okay.
At Ethan Kane on Twitter. That's where you can find me. You can find the show on Twitter at Ritual Misery. Submit ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. Email us podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. And, of course, all these links and more at our website, ritualmisery.com. Kevin McLeod provides us our music, royalty-free. It's pretty awesome like that. And thank you for listening. For Kent, that guy right there, for me, and for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
So Squid pointed out the power glove as a hardware fail.
And like you just said, Rob the robot.
Yep.
The robotic operated buddy. Yeah.
I forgot all about that damn thing. There's so many fucking misses. Glove. I was like, oh.
The problem is when Nintendo misses, they miss so hard that nobody buys it to begin with.
Well, but the thing is, like, at least Rob, anyway, wasn't sold separately. That was part of the NES when it first came out.
Yeah.
I think that the Power Glove was a separate purchase, though, wasn't it?
No, I don't know. It was one of the things where I already had my Nintendo, and I just didn't have the gun. You could only get the gun if you bought the Nintendo. So then I finally found the gun used, and it was like 3 years later, and then I played all of my gun games, and... Yeah,
I only had one gun game, and it was
Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
No, I had Gumshoe, where you had to you had to shoot the dude to make him jump, and then you had to shoot all the stuff that was coming at him, but you had to keep him in the air. It was like the worst concept game ever. Oh my god, that game was awful. Hated that game.
There was a lot of shitty games on NES.
There really were. There weren't many good shooting games on that. I think Duck Hunt was the best.
Yeah. I don't have anything to compare the experience to, but I liked Duck Hunt. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Many hours spent.
I used to hook up the Nintendo to the stereo and turn it up all the way and just shoot people in the street. I probably shouldn't admit that while I'm still in the military.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, whatever.